Recently, Joy was out with me, and we called at Asda's for a comfort break. And I was carefully walking along, carrying the cups of coffee, trying not to spill it. And I totally failed to see a couple of Joy's friends going, "Oh, sorry." You know, I think, I'm sure I'm not alone at doing that. And one of the things I do at work is, from time to time, I take out graduate or trainee surveyors with me. And I often take them on a detailed condition survey. And they've read all the textbooks, they've passed exams, and they'll be with me. And I'll say to them, "You know, what can you tell me about that roof up there?" And I look at it, and they'll start floundering away after a minute or so. And then I will gradually unravel it for them, what I'm seeing compared to what they're seeing. Because, you know, and then gently explain it all. And that's relevant for the story this morning. Now, the story of the road to Emmaus for the disciples is very well known. Actually, it's the longest resurrection account we've got. And it's probably because Luke actually interviewed or spoke directly to Cleopas. So that's why we've got such a first-hand record of it. And you can just imagine these two, only a week before, being so euphoric, just caught up in all the hysteria and the emotion of that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. You know, that excitement, that buzz that must have been going through there. They must have thought that, you know, they won the lottery or something like that. They were so excited, you know, jumping around for joy and just expecting that this was heralding that Israel will be restored and have an independent nation again. But what happens is that they see Jesus killed and hung on a tree. These two knew Jesus and the apostles, and they'd obviously been there in the morning when the women had come back and said the tomb was empty. But here they are now, in effect, retreating, running away, not quite, trudging away from Jerusalem. They're probably feeling depressed. The Bible tells us they're feeling downcast. Probably disillusioned, all their hopes have gone. Total confusion as what's really going on here. And their heads are down. And then Jesus comes alongside them, doesn't he? And he listens to them. And then he asks them two very simple open questions. What are you discussing? And what things? And they start opening up. And they have recognized that Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And they then share all that had happened in the week. And Jesus gives them a mild rebuke, doesn't he? You know, how foolish you are. He was, you know, if they had recognized Jesus, I mean, how could they recognize him, really, if you think about it? You don't recognize somebody you've seen dying on a cross, do you? You don't expect to see somebody walking beside you. And I don't think the Holy Spirit and God wanted them to recognize, because it allowed Jesus to very gently explain to them everything. And their hearts were just ready and their minds were open to receive what Jesus had to tell them. They weren't probably ever in that right place before. And when they get towards the village, you know, Jesus acted as he were going on further. And it's really like a gentle test on them. Do you want to know more? Do you really want me to be here? And he says, "Are you coming on further?" I said, "No, stay with us, stay with us." And when they're at the meal, their recognition of him at the breaking of the bread is like saying, "I am alive because of my broken body." I don't know about you, but I can imagine that they got back to Jerusalem a lot quicker than they got away from it. They were probably virtually running most of the way. And they're just so full of excitement. And they go and share with the disciples and the other followers what has happened. And just after this passage in verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. But despite all that, the disciples were still frightened and thought they'd seen a ghost. So what message has the story for us? Well, I'm sure most of you realise our life is a journey, isn't it? But it's more road to Emmaus than the Damascus road. You know, our life includes good times, but there are also dark times, periods of trials and difficulties, periods when we are suffering. You know, it may be from sickness, bereavement, loneliness, relationship difficulties, any manner of things. And that can cause a lot of problems for us, and we can feel that emotional pain. And for some people, that is depression, and it can be also spiritual doubting as where God is in all of this. And the story tells us that Jesus is walking with us on our journey. He is there. He's the perfect listener. He's accessible at all times. You know, in those dark periods, at the time, we may not recognize that Jesus is actually talking to us. We may not hear that inner voice and recognize it as Jesus. It may be that we, at the time, we fail to recognize that it's somebody else being used by Jesus to speak words of comfort and encouragement to us, because our eyes are blinded at that time. Now, Cleopas and his friend knew their textbook. They knew the Bible. Yet they needed Jesus to open it up, providing it with fresh relevance and meaning, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out. It hadn't come at Pentecost. Now, when we read the Bible, we now have Jesus teaching us through the Holy Spirit to see the truth of what God wants us to know and the real character of God. You see, if we come to Scripture full of ourselves, we leave no room for Jesus, and we miss the joy and wisdom that's available. I think the passage also tells us that Jesus wants us to be spiritually hungry and to draw near to him. You know, we can do that by listening to God's word expounded here on Sunday morning, in the home groups, but more importantly, just pick up your Bible, study and read it, and just let yourself absorb more and more, know more and more, and ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to really help you understand as well. Now, the joy of these two disciples, when they found that Jesus was alive, was unbounded. And that sense of joy is found in our second reading from 1 Peter. And for me, a key verse is verse 3. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. So what is a living hope? Now, we don't trek off to Jerusalem to see a musty, empty tomb, do we? We don't worship a mystical philosophy or a moral code of ethics. But we have a God who is not restrained or restricted. You can't put him in a box. And he's always doing new things. And we're someone we can have a personal, intimate relationship with. Peter is saying, verse 6, trials are nothing more than refining the gold of our faith that will bring us glory. And in verse 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the gold of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In the week, Phyllis correctly remarked, what a glorious, uplifting service we had here last Sunday. How many of us shared it outside the fellowship? What a glorious time we had. Probably not very many. You know, I know that all of us at times have experienced things that we've really enjoyed and appreciated. We've been witnesses to events. And sometimes we'll share that long after they've occurred. One for me is, for the sports fans, the gents here, I was at the final day of the 2005 Ashes series at the Oval. You know, I saw it. I was there. You know, it's what Max Boyce said, you know, I was there. Do you remember that rugby song from the 70s? Now, our two disciples were there at the resurrection. And I imagine they shared their experiences all their life. You know, experience sharing is wonderful. You can't argue with an experience. And people can be passionate and they will listen to an experience because it has a different colour and resonance. You know, we all have experiences of the risen Christ, don't we? We all have it. You know, and others need to see our infectious, boundless joy, whatever our circumstances in life at that moment. They need to see that inner joy. Just close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for being alive, just coming alongside us. And I pray that we are constantly filled with overflowing joy. Amen.